Good morning and welcome to Morning Report. This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. It's Friday, July 31st, and for the next half hour, we'll be bringing you news from the Worcester Telegram and Gazette, along with other local news services. Thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. This is George and Harry coming to you live from the Patricia A. Fletcher Studio at Audio Journal in Worcester, Massachusetts. And now on the line is Bill Ruggiero with the weather. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, George. Good morning, Harry. And welcome to a Friday, folks. We have made it through our week, and it's been a wet week, but we're going to see some dry conditions today with just a slight chance of a shower this afternoon. Highs today in the lower 80s, and then tonight is going to be mostly clear skies, lows dropping into the 60s. Now, tomorrow it's going to be warmer. It's going to be in the mid-80s with a little bit of humidity tomorrow. And drink lots of water because the weather is going to get hot. And Sunday we got warm and humid with showers and thunderstorms likely, especially in the afternoon at night. And then Monday is the wettest day with showers and thunderstorms anywhere between noon and 3 o'clock p.m. on Monday. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday we're in the 80s and humidity builds up. And then Friday, we could get a heat wave next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with temperatures in the mid-90s, folks. So summer is not done with us. And now back to you guys.
Oh, thank you very much, Bill. Hey, Bill, you know, my sump pump in my basement is working pretty well. But for all those people who might have a little flooding in their basement, can we tell them that you're available to bring a mop and bucket and help them out? Is that okay?
Yeah. That's fine. I mean, I'll bring a mop. I'll bring a bucket. We'll get them out. Don't worry.
Okay. That sounds good. Or maybe you can bring some ducks over to, you know, people could have some ducks, you know, wading around in their basement.
Yeah. Well, if you have anything that's plugged in, any electrical outlets plugged in downstairs in the basement, might want to cut those off because if the water builds up, it's not going to work. So if you have anything plugged in downstairs, please unplug it.
That's right. Well, Bill, do you have any plans?
Sun pump.
Yeah. Do you have any plans for the weekend?
No. I plan to go to church. It's going to be Rio Gora Sunday at First Unitarian Church. What that is, it's people dress up in costumes, and it's to Harry Potter.
Wow.
And what will your costume be?
Oh, I'm not in it. I just like to go and listen.
Ah, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, Bill, thank you so much for your weather report, and we hope you have a good weekend. And please know we're still praying for your dad.
He's hanging in there, but he's not doing that well. Yeah. You know, and you know it's sad, but you know.
Yep. Well, we're still thinking about him, and again, I hope you have a good weekend, good restful weekend.
All right. You too, Harry.
Okay, take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And we'll be right back.
Low vision and blind persons in the Worcester area are fortunate to have a support group sponsored by the Massachusetts Association for the Blind in Worcester. The group meets monthly at the Worcester Senior Center and provides information and resources to assist with daily living, assistive technology, transportation, and friendship. For more information, please call Marion at 508-754-0672. Again, that telephone number is 508-754-0672.
And we're back from page one of the Worcester Telegram and Gazette. Strike near Suez Canal fuels fears of a wider war. This by Reuters from Dubai. A drone strike on gas vessels in Egypt's Mediterranean port of Damietta signaled a potential new front in the U.S.-Iran war, raising the prospect of threats to navigation through the Suez Canal, a last remaining safe export route for Saudi oil. The Egyptian cabinet said on July 30th that an initial investigation showed that an unidentified drone caused a fire on July 29th on two vessels at Damietta port near the Suez Canal, which links the Mediterranean with the Red Sea. No group has claimed responsibility, the cabinet said, adding that authorities are taking measures to protect Egypt's national security. Trading sources familiar with the incident said the drone hit U.S.-owned gas storage tanker Energos Winter, causing a fire that spread to another vessel. Overnight, the U.S. military said it struck Iran Revolutionary Guard's military command centers and drone facilities after Tehran fired at U.S. forces in the region. And we'll be right back.
Join Cooking in the Dark, heard each and every Saturday mornings from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Join Cheryl Cummings and Dale Campbell as they discuss their favorite recipes, and also they do tell jokes. Well, I'm just joking. That's Cooking in the Dark, heard each and every Saturday mornings from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on Audio Journal, and they are great. Cheryl and Dale. Oh, yeah. Cook the food, Dale.
That's Bill.
We're back. Good Egg rescues duck trapped at Salisbury Pond spillway. From Worcester. Volunteer duck savior Gabrielle Darling recorded another rescue on a very rainy Wednesday, July 29th. At the Salisbury Pond Spillway in Institute Park, she used stone blocks and wood to divert rolling waters around an escape ladder that had proved too daunting for a stuck mallard duck hen. It was a successful mission. Since June 24th, Darling said, 14 goslings, one duck, and four adult Canada geese have been trapped at the base of the spillway near Grove Street. Next up, a nonprofit closed over federal opposition to DEI gets new life by Jesse Collings. Mass Edco, the Worcester-based nonprofit that lost its federal funding due to a mention of diversity, equity, and inclusion practices in a grant application, has merged with the Seven Hills Foundation and will continue to provide college application services to first-generation college students in the city. The Seven Hills Foundation announced Wednesday, July 29th, that the two entities would merge and that Mass Edco would be back to serving students in Worcester and New Bedford through its Educational Talent Search program, as well as the Gear Up program, which helps students from disadvantaged backgrounds with navigating the college application process. The importance and demonstrated longstanding success of Mass Edco's federal programs led to our desire to assume operations and continue providing these critical supports to students who need guidance to navigate the path to higher education successfully, said Kathleen Jordan, president and CEO of Seven Hills Foundation, in a press release. Our mission calls for Seven Hills to respond to the needs of people with significant life challenges and these students certainly deserve inclusion in our portfolio of services. In September, the federal government informed MassEDCO that a grant that had provided around $2 million, or 45% of the nonprofit's operating budget, would be canceled. The explanation was a mention in the grant application of DEI training provided to MassEDCO staff, which the government said was not in alignment with the priorities of the Trump administration. And we'll be right back with Harry and local news.
The Attorney General's Office is an advocate and resource for all residents of Massachusetts. The Attorney General's Office protects consumers, combats fraud and corruption, and investigates crime and prosecutes criminals. Additionally, it protects the environment, workers, and civil rights. For more information, or if you need to file a complaint, call 617-727-2200.
And we're back. Our first article on the local section. Jaden Montez arraigned in 2022. Killing of Jasmine Rosario outside Big Y. Story by Craig Simone. A suspect in a 2022 slaying taken into custody in Florida 4 weeks ago was arraigned Wednesday, July 29th, in connection with the killing of a 17-year-old girl in the parking lot of a Worcester supermarket. Our next story. Plea deal rejected in 2024 slaying. Defendant cites self-defense. This is by Rachel Gow. A proposed plea agreement in the case of a Worcester woman stabbed to death by her boyfriend on Valentine's Day in 2024 has hit a snag after the defendant repeatedly claimed the slaying was unintentional. Sadrach Metellus appeared in Worcester Superior Court on Wednesday, July 29th, for the third plea hearing in recent months. He is accused of killing 24-year-old Veslin Garnier following a domestic dispute in their apartment. Our next story. A rainy day? A record amount for Worcester, says NWS. A record amount of rain was measured at Worcester Municipal Airport Wednesday, July 29th. According to the National Weather Service, NWS, the 4.56 inches of rain was the highest total on record for any on July 29th. On that date in 1980, the tally was 1.82 inches, the Weather Service reported. The rainiest day on record for Worcester is October 13th, 1895. Yes, that's right, Bill. If you're listening, I said October 13th, 1895. That's the rainiest day on record when the city saw 7.54 inches of rain. Can you imagine? According to Weather Service records, and that's the date to February 1st, 1892 for Worcester. Worcester reported a combined sewer overflow from the deluge, but it didn't send any raw sewage into the Blackstone River, according to city officials. The overflow sent nearly 18 million gallons of treated sewage into the Blackstone between July 29th through the early morning hours of Thursday, July 30th. Just because there was a record rainfall in Worcester, that doesn't mean the area is out of a statewide drought that has persisted for 2 years, said Vandana Rao, Director of Water Policy at the State Executive Office of Energy and Environmental Affairs. The public perception is one major rain event and we're fine, said Rao. One rainfall is helpful, but it's not enough to get us out of drought. We need many more rain events. Central Mass has been stuck in a significant drought status since April, and Rao said with historically mild rainfalls in August, along with hot weather that causes water to quickly evaporate, It's important for residents to understand the importance of conserving water. The lingering drought has lowered the water level in the Quabbin Reservoir that provides drinking water to millions of people, including communities in central Massachusetts. The latest report from the state's Drought Management Task Force indicated an 82% level at the end of June compared to the normal level of 90% at that time of year. Meanwhile, the forecast called for more rain Thursday, July 30th, although in lesser amounts. The sun will return during the day today, Friday, July 31st, with rain possible in the evening, according to the Weather Service and according to our own Bill Ruggiero. Clear weather is expected for much of Saturday, August 1st, and Sunday, August 2nd. Looking ahead, Worcester could see some rain Sunday, August 2nd into Monday, August 3rd, said meteorologist Emily McGinn at the National Weather Service. It won't be much, with a possible accumulation of a quarter inch. A few sprinkles could follow Thursday, October 6th. We're going to take a break, and I'll be right back. And I'm back. Ex-nurse from Hopedale faces assault charge in Marlboro. The story by Norman Miller. A Hopedale man who's accused of sexually assaulting two teen boys while working as a nurse at Boston Children's Hospital is also accused of sexually assaulting a patient while he was a nurse at UMass Memorial Medical Center, Marlboro campus. All right, I'm going to take another break and come back with the obits.
Have you heard about the audio journal show, Young at Heart? It's okay to be young at heart. The show is about listening to simple stories about simple and happy tales of life. By listening to Young at Heart, you will experience the delight and wonder of being, well, young at heart. And since laughter is the best medicine, many of the stories will also make you smile, chuckle, or even laugh out loud. So pull up a comfy chair, take off your shoes, and bend your ears to the audio journal show, Young at Heart, every Saturday and Sunday at 2 o'clock p.m.
And now it's time for the reading of the obituaries for Friday, July 31st, 2026. Up first, Mark A. Chaplow, age 65, from Grafton, died July 24th, arrangements at the Roney Funeral Home. That was Mark A. Chaplow. Next, Roger Daigle, age 79, from Rutland, died July 28th. Arrangements also at the Roney Funeral Home. Michael Green, age 76, from Pomfrey Center, Connecticut, died July 27th. Arrangements at the Smith and Walker Funeral Home. That was Michael Green from Pomfrey Center. Raza Grigaitis, age 84, from Paxton, died July 26th. Arrangements at the Dursa Morin Memorial Chapel. That was Raza Grigaitis. Arthur C. Hall, age 76, from Davenport, Florida, originally from Worcester, died July 24th. Arrangements at the Dursa Morin Memorial Chapel. That was Arthur C. Hall. Next, Marcy Jill Rubin, formerly Marcy Jill Dolan,
age 54, from Shrewsbury, died on July 30th. Arrangements at the Miles Funeral Home. That was Marcy Jill Rubin, formerly Marcy Dolan. And finally, John Joseph Walsh, age 89, from East Falmouth, Massachusetts, died on July 21st. Arrangements are at the Chapman Funerals and Cremations in Mashpee. That is John Joseph Walsh from East Falmouth, Massachusetts. We'll be right back.
Today in history. Today is July 31st. In 1498, on his third voyage to the Americas, Christopher Columbus sighted the inhabited island of Trinidad. In 1667, the Treaty of Breda was signed, ending the Second Anglo-Dutch War between England and the Dutch Republic. Under terms of the treaty, the Netherlands allowed England to keep New Netherland, which includes parts of modern-day New York, New Jersey, Delaware, and Connecticut. In 1715, 11 Spanish treasure ships heading to Spain from Havana, Cuba, sank off the east coast of Florida after a hurricane. An estimated 1,000 to 1,500 sailors perished. While the Spanish government was able to recover most of the treasure, some remains lost in the depths of the sea. In 1790, Samuel Hopkins was awarded the first U.S. patent for his potash, which is potassium carbonate, and pearl ash process. Potash is mostly used in fertilizer. In 1874, Patrick Francis Healy was officially inaugurated as president of Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., becoming the first black person to be president of a predominantly white university. In 1921, Whitney M. Young Jr., an influential civil rights leader and former executive director of the National Urban League, who worked to address social inequality, was born in Lincoln Ridge, Kentucky. In 1932, the Nazi Party won nearly 38% of the vote in Germany after the dissolution of the lower house of Germany's parliament, the Reichstag. While the Nazi Party failed to secure the majority, it gained significant power in the newly formed Reichstag. And in 1941, with instructions from Adolf Hitler, Nazi leader Hermann Göring ordered SS General Reinhard Heydrich to submit a plan to carry out the desired final solution of the Jewish question. The final solution was the mass systematic genocide of any individual who the Nazi identified as Jewish. In 1964, unmanned U.S. lunar probe Ranger 7 reached the moon and sent back more than 4,000 close-up detailed pictures of the lunar surface before it crashed. The pictures were beyond what any earthbound telescope could produce. In 1973, Delta Flight 723 crashed into a seawall while landing amid a heavy fog at Logan International Airport in Boston, killing 88 of the 89 passengers and crew on board. The lone survivor died that December from injuries sustained in the crash. In 1988, 32 people were killed and more than 1,600 others were injured when a jetty platform at the Sultan Abdul Halim Ferry Terminal collapsed under the weight of thousands of passengers in Butterworth, Penang, Malaysia. And in 2006, communist Cuban leader Fidel Castro, suffering from severe health problems, provisionally handed presidential power to his brother, Raul. And we're about out of time. You've been listening to The Morning Report, a production of the Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I'm George with Harry. Thank you for listening. I hope you have a wonderful day filled with hope and joy.
You are listening to Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.
This is Bird Note.
An evening baseball game isn't the only thing illuminated by the bright stadium lights. High in the air, countless flying insects are drawn to them. And those insects are a perfect snack for the game's avian attendees. Common nighthawks swoop with their wide mouths open to hoover up the flying insects under the lights, performing aerial stunts over the athletes on the ground. Common nighthawks belong to the nightjar family, a group of birds with long wings and big mouths that are adept at hunting in the air. Nighthawks have gray and brown feathers that help them blend in on the ground. In the sky, though, these birds stand out. Vertical white wing stripes glow bright even at dusk and dawn, when they're most active. To show off for potential mates, male nighthawks use a display called booming. They dive so that air makes a loud boom as it passes over their wings.
Hot dogs! Hot dogs!
The next time you're enjoying your snacks at the game, just know that the birds are enjoying theirs, too. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein. This episode is sponsored by 7-year-old Quinn Sedgley, who wants everyone to help birds and wildlife.
People with disabilities adapt on a daily basis. They're people you want on your team. And we're here to help you find blind and visually impaired professionals to help you reach your organizational goals. Building an inclusive workforce where individuals with disabilities are welcome is possible thanks to Mass Commission for the Blind. Partner with them to hire individuals who are blind or visually impaired and reach your workforce goals. The success of your organization depends on the diversity of your team. Call 1-800-392-6450 or visit mass.gov/MCB to learn how you can become an employer partner for the blindness community. That's 1-800-392-6450 or mass.gov/MCB.